Good morning. This week, a Sa'a Godel and the Nesi'a Elokim was lost to Klal Yisrael. The Pesach Lior Fark, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha, was a person whose influence over the Kehillah stretched in many, many different ways. Halacha, Teira, Kedusha. Baruch Shem had the zchus to have a small shaychus to him over the years. I always found that as a bocher already, he once asked me if I can learn with one of his sons. And he used to pay me. And when he used to pay me, he always made me feel very, very special. At the time, I didn't appreciate it as much. Nowadays, somebody says to him, give a shir, pay. They make you feel good about it. As a young bocher, he'd always thank me respectfully. His middas tiris was also something special. I dog it here. I'm sure we'll all hear spadim and different tiris about it. I just want to say one very fascinating idea from a tzaddik HaKohen Milublin, a very interesting idea. And it starts from a shaylas v'tshuvos from the Geonim. This is actually also brought down in the Sefer HaPardes of Rashi. The Chidor, in the Sefer Pesach Einaim on Menachos, he's the first one to really mention it. The Chidor tells us, in the end of Menachos, a very interesting thing. He says like this, that Rav, the great Amora Rav, one of the earliest Amoraim, he had within him 10 great Madregas. There were 10 unique things about Rav. And he lists them out. I'm not going to go through them all. If you want to look it inside, it's in Sefer Pardes. I mentioned a few of them. One of the things he did is that he never walked 4 amas bekuma zakufa, standing upright. Another thing is he was very, very makbid on 3 su'udas on Shabbos. Another thing he did was he never looked where he mustn't. 10 different anhagas. And the Goyim write that after he was lifter, 10 different Amoraim chose to follow in his footsteps. And each one took one middah of Rav, one special thing of Rav, and they took it upon themselves to follow in that particular middah. Each one chose one of the 10 madrigas of Rav and decided that they'll take it upon themselves. And in fact, the Gemara says that Sheshus was blind. Sheshus was blind. And he brings that what happened was that Rav Sheshus decided to follow Rav in the sense that just like Rav did not look ever where he shouldn't have, Rav Sheshus decided to do the same. And he found it too much. And what he did was, he blinded himself. Because he couldn't deal with holding on that madrega. Now you probably imagine to yourself, I'm telling you now some Chassidus HaTorah. Do you know who says this? It's the Ran in Kiddushin. The vision, the Ran in Kedushin writes that Rav Sheshus was born that he could see, and he decided to take upon himself to follow in the ways of Rav, not to look where he shouldn't. He found it too difficult, so he blinded himself. Can you imagine such a thing? So again, very briefly, we have Rav, the great Amora Rav, he had 10 dargas, and he had 10 talmidim that each one chose something to follow in his ways. Rav Nachman, Gmor says, was very makbid on 3 siddhas of Shabbos. Each one chose something special of Rav to take on. Says the Tzaddik HaKohen like this. The Torah says, Kiloisi shochach mipi zaroi. Torah will not be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. If you think about it for a minute before we say anything further, this pasuk is the most amazing pasuk. That Torah will not be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. Think about it. We've been kicked out of almost every country in the world. We've gone through Holocaust, persecutions, unbelievable tzoras and inquisitions. Can't imagine, we have no mussig of the tzoras that Klal Yisrael went through. There isn't a page in history which isn't covered with tzoras of Klal Yisrael. And Afal Pi Kein, with all the tzoras, Kilesi Shochach Mipizar, look at the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that we have Priskim, all the way through the Doras, you've got the Shach, who wrote his Sefer while he was running away from Tachvatat, beautiful, thousands upon tens of thousands of pages. And that is true even today, with all the Yetzors that exist today, Kilesi Shochach Mipizar, There are Talmidei Chachamim around the world, and on any topic in Torah, there are Sfarim being written the whole time. And it's an amazing koyach of Christ, okay, so Shachach Mipizar. It says with Tzadik HaKoyim that when the Talmud Chachim is Nifter, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Kedei Shochach Mipizarui, he has to provide another Talmud Chachim to take his place. Because otherwise, Torah will be forgotten. And if there's no Talmud Chachim that can take his place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to provide a number of Talmidei Chachamim that each one can take part of his place. Because otherwise, Torah will be forgotten. So let's say you have a Talmud Chachim that knows all of Yoyodeh. So then, when he's Nifta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to provide many Talmidei Chachamim that each one at least knows a part of Yoyodeh. That all together, the Torah shouldn't be forgotten. That's the Haftoch of Kali Yisrael. And he said, I'll take it a step further. When we say that Torah will not be forgotten, it doesn't just mean that the knowledge of Torah, the halachas of Torah shouldn't be forgotten. Because he says, Chas v'sholem, if one middle Torah of Kali Yisrael would be lost, if Ramoshul, the tzniyus of Kali Yisrael would go down, or the Kedusha, or the chesed of Kli Yisrael would be lost, then Torah would be lost. Because we know that Torah, a person is not zeichet to without the mem ches kenyonei ha-Torah, which are kelim in them, the Gaon says, all the middos tovos. Which means that chas v'shalom, let's say, the middah of humility would be lost, so then how would Torah would automatically be diminished. And the Torah says, Kli Yisrael shochach mipizaroi. Torah will never be forgotten. So therefore, if there was a big tzaddik who had within him a certain middah of Torah, and his nifter, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to provide, in the context of Kli Yisrael Shochach Mipizaroi, a number of Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim, that each one will at least take part of that gadlus of that Tzaddik, that it should remain within Kli Yisrael, so that it shouldn't be forgotten. He says, that's pshat in this Geonim about Rav. That Rav had within him 10 tremendous gadlustic things. And each Amora, when they tried to emulate Rav, they realized, we will never be able to copy Rav. Because Rav was much too great. But each one chose 1/10. And as we mentioned, each one he was makbid, that he never had anybody upset with him. He always made up with every person, the Gemara says about Rav. And the Chidor, as I mentioned, Pesach Inam, the end of Menachos, is very marich about, what he does beautifully is he connects all the Gemaras and Shas, which talk about the Talmidim of Rav with their Midot Tova, with one of the things that Rav did. For example, the Gemara says about Rav Nachman, I'm lucky that I have been makbid my whole life to keep 3 Suudis on Shabbos. Tasty the Kiyamis Gimel Suudis for Shabbos. And we see that Rav did that. So Rav Nachman took that as one of the middos of Rav. And Rav Nachman was happy that he chose that chelek because he said that's a very special chelek in Yiddishkeit to have. Makbid all the 3 Suudis al pi halacha, shuv v'zecha. So the point is, but it says like this, that when the Talmud, when a Rav was nifted, they had to emulate it. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a Shefa in the world, and each person took one chelek of the Shefa. As I mentioned, we have lost a person, who had so many different kriches, in halacha, kedusha, Torah, chesed. I was always amazed every time I spoke to him. He wrote me a letter about how much he enjoyed my Sefer on Rus, and how beautifully it was written. And afterwards, and I thanked him, he said, no, I have to thank you. You don't know how much chizuk I got from your letter. He's a person that hundreds of people were trying to speak to him every day. His kindness. Now, we can't take all those middos. But what Tzadik HaKoyim promises is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to find, each one of us can find something which he did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a koyach to people, that's what he's moisif. That it's not pshat that just a person can take it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now offers it up. It's like there was a business, and when a person finishes with a business, so he leaves the business, he's nifta. So somebody has to carry on the business, otherwise the business will be lost. Torah is the greatest of all business. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises somebody has to take it over. A person can now choose which chelek of Torah. Does he want to be makbid on halacha? Does he want to be makbid on sneers? Does he want to be makbid on offers each chelik a person can be zeichet to, and that's what happened with Rav. We should be zeichet to do that. As I said, there'll be many aspedim, I'm sure. I just want to say that machshav. It's a very beautiful machshav from the Tzadik HaKoyim. In a similar oifen, Rashi in this week's parasha says an interesting Rashi. Aaron yochicho yia neviyecho. Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. And Rashi is obviously bothered. What does it mean that Aaron will be the Novi? Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the Novi. Aaron wasn't a greater Novi than Moshe on the contrary. There's no Novi like Moshe. What does it mean? But Aaron achicho yeh neviecho. Says Rashi. He says, "Kol loshin nevu." The word nevu means "Odama machris umashmiya leom." A person who speaks to the people. Nevu just means a spokesman. But Aaron achicho yeh neviecho. Aaron, your brother should be your spokesman. That's what the pasuk means. It doesn't mean he should be your novi like we understand as a prophet. Aaron achicho yeh neviecho. He should be a spokesman. And says Rashi, the word nevu comes from that word because the novi's job was to speak to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Mordechai Schulzen gebot out the Sefer when Yecheskel Abramsky was Nifta. And he says there in the Sefer that this is a vort Yecheskel Abramsky used to like to say. As the Gemara in Megillah tells us, how many Nevi'im were there? Kiflaim kiyotze Mitzrayim. Double the amount that came out of Mitzrayim. Over 1 million Nevi'im were in Klal Yisrael. How many do we know of? 48. We only know 48 Nevi'im, what they said to us. There was over 1 million Nevi'im, but we know 48. So he used to ask, what's going on? Rashi says that a Novi is called a Novi because he used to speak to Klal Yisrael and tell them these words. But there were over 1 million of them, and many of them never spoke to Klal Yisrael. They just heard the Vuram. We don't know anything further about them. So in what way were they spokesmen? And he said, because when a person has had the schus of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person has been made himself Kaddish V'Toy to the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to them, then what happens is his whole behavior is a spokesman. He becomes somebody who speaks to the world how to behave. And that's pshat in the nevuah of these million people who we never heard words from them. They spoke with their behavior of who they were. I remember Moshe Shmuel Shapiro used to say, Shimon Be'yakov, that people get much too obsessed with the middle pages of the newspapers with all the photos of Talmidei Chachamim. He used to say that we have no idea who's a tzaddik, who's not. It's unfortunate that Yetzirah, he used to say. So Yetzirah, like, they have the $5, but that amongst the going, people have to have those they follow all the time. You know, you have photos of different sports people, etc. And it can become like a cult where a person, Mamish, is obsessed with it. I used to say, people do the same with the pictures. They have to know, they have to see, what's he doing, what's he getting, where did he be, it was no good. And recently, somebody told me a story, which Ramesh gave me a chizuk. Told me like this, that he has a great uncle living on the Chav Rashba, lived on the Chav Rashba, was nifted recently, Chav Rashba. Huge Talmud Chacham. Now, the Chav Rashba is where Chaim Kanievsky lives. And he said that his great uncle is big Talmud Chacham, but when you're next to Chaim Kanievsky, you could be a huge Talmud Chacham and nobody could ever hear of you, because compared to Chaim Kanievsky, he's insignificant. And the person told me the story himself. He said when he was 15, he wasn't doing well in yeshiva here in Manchester, and his parents sent him to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what they were thinking. He said for 2 years that he was in Bnei Brak, he didn't learn a word, Kimat. He said the Yetzirahs that were there were just horrific. And slowly but surely, his Shaychus to Torah was becoming very, very, very weak. But he had this great uncle that lived on Rechav Rashbam, and he used to go there every once a week for supper. And every week, the person would say to him, Sadus, what have you learned this week? And he used to say, well, you tell me. And he would always tell him about the Shtikl Torah. And he would always say to his great uncle, who was a Talmud Chacham, would always say to a very geshmak Shtikl Torah. And that was his only learning of the week. Can you imagine? That was in Bnei Brak. The person has to be careful, he said, in childhood. Anyway. And it was his only learning for the week. Every Wednesday night, he would eat supper. He would hear Shtikl Torah. And he gave him a taste for it, though. He made a geshmak for him. And then, after a couple of years, he started settling down, and he kept him going. And now, today, Baruch Hashem, is a Ben Torah. I was always amazed by the story. We imagine that the influences, you get big influences from somebody like a Rav, a Dayan. The emphasis is that the influence that we get is much, much, much greater from those who are not in a position or much greater than us. Often the influence we get is from somebody who's with us. And that's what Moshe Mordechai Schulzen used to say. This is what Yecheskel Abramsky used to say to people. A person comes on time to shul. So if he's the Rav, so he'll say, okay, he's the Rav, he has to come to shul on time. If it's time of poshta, when the members of the kehillah is makbid how he davens, the hashpah that he has is much, much, much greater. And that's what the pasuk, when Aaron achicho yeh neviecho, Rashi says, is a lashon of spokesman to speak to people. Even the million or so Nevi'im that never spoke to anybody, they were also spokesmen. Because their behavior, how they behaved when they walked around in the street, was a spokesman. We have to be very careful. Moshe Feinstein, this week's parasha, the Drash Moshe, the next pasuk tells us, Rashi brings that Moshe and Aaron are often mentioned, sometimes Aaron the Moshe and sometimes Moshe the Aaron. So he says, Rashi says, they were equal. So Moshe Feinstein always asks the kasha, he says, Shkulim hayu. In what way were they equal? Moshe Rabbeinu, they come to Moshe. Nobody like Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you say Shkulim hayu? So he says, the Teretz is that each one fulfilled his tachlis, his avoider, to the best of their abilities, and that way they were equal. Chosavov says this a number of times, that if a person is given 100 measures of produce, and he only gives away 9 for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and somebody else is only given 10, and he gives away 1, says the Chavis of Ovis, the one who gave away 1 is a much greater person, because at the end of the day, he did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him. The one who only gave away 9 didn't. Says Moshe Feinstein, there were shkulim in their efforts to serve Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had a greater neshama, greater koichas, therefore he reached much higher. But Aaron, he utilized all his koichas like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yitzchak Zilberstein brings this word in Tuvcha Yabiyu, and what he does is he says that he should know that this word is the most important, like he says, this is the word that a person has to take away from this week's parasha, he says. Now what happens is, often a person looks at others, compares himself to others, and starts wondering, am I doing well, am I not doing well? But it's not true. The greatness of a person is not measured how he does compared to others. Aaron HaKohen could have looked at his whole life and looked at Moshe and said, well, Moshe is doing much better than me, and put me downhearted. No. You are shokul because you used your koiches according to your capabilities. A person who makes his effort to learn, it doesn't matter if he's not learned as much as another gadol, but he's put his effort, he's the one who's a spokesman for Klal Yisrael. He's the one that's mashpia on Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's one word from the Drash Moshe and Cheskel Obamsky. So let's say a word from the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim asks the kasha that in this week's parasha, when there's the tzfardim, there's the frogs, Moshe Rabbeinu cries out to Hashem, and the frogs all disappear. And in Parashas Chukas, the snakes come to attack Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu davens to Hashem, Vayitzak Moshe Hashem, he cries out to Hashem, and the snakes don't go away. They remain there. So he asks, why? Where do we buy Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael are much greater than the Mitzvim. If Moshe Rabbeinu davens, L'chayah, that tefillah should work. And why by the frogs? Well, if the Mitzvim does it work immediately. So Chofetz Chaim says that there the chet of which caused the snakes to come was the chet of Lashon Hara. And he says this, I'll try to give a mashal. Imagine a person sometimes sees a child or a talmid doing something wrong. And the person decides that the best thing to do is to ignore it. It doesn't deserve to be punished. It doesn't deserve to be noticed. Sometimes, many times, it's best to ignore. And then another child comes and says, Daddy, look, you know, he took a biscuit without permission. He messed up the toy, he did this, he took that. Then what happens is, because the child is demanding, the person has no choice, but the person has to say, right, we have to do something about it, because the kitzug is mechayev. That kitzug is mechayev, there should be a punishment. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the same thing, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he creates a malach who's mekatrig in Shemayim, and that malach stands there demanding that there should be justice until the person does something about it. And that is why he says by the Nechoshim, it didn't help Moshe Rabbeinu to daven. Because at the end of the day, there was a kitrug against Christ, or they spoke Lashon Hara. The Malach demanded that there should be some sort of punishment. Mashaki by the frogs, they did terrible avails, but there was no Lashon Hara involved. The Mitzvah were not Nechshal in Lashon Hara. Since they were not Nechshal in Lashon Hara, therefore they could, the minute Moshe Rabbeinu davens, so that it goes away straight away. We could say Midot Teva Merubah. Sometimes a child does something good. I just want to finish off, so I want to finish off. Chaim says, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, sorry, I should go back. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he creates a malach that says kitruk. That malach demands that there should be a punishment. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to, so to speak, carry the punishment. The one who spoke Lashon Hara then gets punished, not just for the avail of the Lashon Hara, but for all the damage that was done because of his kitruk, the person who spoke Lashon Hara gets punished for that as well. So if a person's ma'over, let's say a person, as there are people in Christ are doing avers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, I'll be moichel, I'll ignore it. Sometimes Christ did it by mistake, they don't deserve to be punished, I'll have patience. and somebody gets up and says Lashon Hara about them, so then what happens is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has to punish. The one who spoke Lashon Hara gets punished now, not just for the Lashon Hara, but for all the punishments that they got. It's all added to his bill. Sometimes a person doesn't necessarily know that the child's done something good, or even if he does know that the child's done something good, he's not aware to compliment, to reward. And somebody comes in, often you get a letter from a teacher, your child today did this in school, or another person tells you your child did this wonderful act, and then what happens is you decide to reward. And that also creates a malach, a midat tevah merubah. When a person says something good about Kali Som, then that is tevah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has to reward. And then the reward that every person receives from that good word is also added to a person's cheshbon. It gives a person a musig when we think about this parasha, that when it came to the snakes of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu with all his tefillahs could not get rid of them. It needed for Klal Yisrael to do something about it. But when it came to the frogs of the Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and he davens, and straight away the frogs go away. You see the kayach of what power Lashon Hara has, and how important it is, and middle tov and rubah, what Lashon Tov is, if a person says something positive, and that because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards, think about how much schar a person will get. But derech agav, all the Mefarshim ask an interesting question. Why does it say by Yitzhak that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davens for the frogs, it says like this? By Yitzhak Moshe el Hashem, Moshe cried out, he shouted out, tzaoko, the lashon of shouting. Why did he need to shout? It doesn't say lashon tzaoko by the other makas. Why did he need to shout? Oh, very nice. The Mloy Oimer says this word, a beautiful word. We've been learning in Daf Yomi that lechatchila, when a person davens, lechatchila, one has to hear his own voice. If a person davens so quietly that he can't hear, he's yoytza, but it's not good lechatchila. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be yoytza, his tefillah lechatchila. So what did he do? There were so many frogs croaking. There was so much background noise. In order to be heard, he had to do a tzaoka, he had to shout out in order that he could be heard above the noise, the din the frogs were making. It doesn't say that. It only says that by Makas Bord. It doesn't say that. Ketzei Sa'ir only says by Makas Bord. My father Shlit will have a nice chicken to as to why only by Bord. But there's many before we talk about it. But Lebaisa, it's interesting. The Sifun and Nebnezu ask the same question. They say different terms. The Sifonu says that the reason he had to shout out was because the Gemara tells us in Yuma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give us half things. The Gemara there discusses that they try to get rid of the Yetzirah of Znus, but you couldn't get half without the other. Once they tried to get rid of the Taiva, there'd be no marriage either. Palge lo yavule, you don't get half. You can't ask for half. And here Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for half. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did not want the frogs to go away. He didn't want Mitzrayim to be a frog-free place. He wanted they should carry on having frogs, but not everywhere, just in their own. So since he was asking for half a thing, therefore he had to dive an extra kavona. That's why it says by Yitzhak, he had to dive with tzaoka and not just a normal tefillah. The Ibn Ezra says that here Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He did it without consulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he said to power, you tell me when. And Hashem hadn't given him that power. So therefore that's why Be'yitzak, he had to daven with extra kavana, so to speak, because he wasn't speaking Hashem's direction. He was his own initiative to show power how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that whatever you ask for. He says, that's why it's very meduyuk, that the Pasuk says, Vayas Hashem kitvar Moshe. It doesn't usually say that. Vayas Hashem kitvar Moshe. Hashem went and did like Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Why do you have to do like Moshe Rabbeinu asked? Because it wasn't a normal thing that Moshe Rabbeinu was his own initiative that he came up with. So we have three pshat in why Moshe Rabbeinu had to shout. Either to be heard above the frogs, or to because he was asking for a half a measure, or because he was doing it on his own initiative. But the ikadu could have to be out was the Chafetz Chaim, that by the frogs, this tefillah worked immediately, by the snakes, they did not. The Pasuk tells us, in the beginning of the parasha, that Klal Yisrael leishomu al Moshe, they did not listen to Moshe, mikotze ruach ma'avodah kasha. They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sefonu says that because they never listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore they were not zeicher to come to Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine? They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, the whole Dor Mitzrayim died in the Midbar. And the Shurash Hachet, the beginning, obviously they died because of the miracle. But the source, how it all started, was in this week's parasha of Lo Yishomu al Moshe. They never listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sfas Emma says, Mikotzer Ruach means a shortness of ruchnias of spirit. They were not on the Bal Madrega to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. They were too caught up in the physical desires to listen to the ruchnias that Moshe Rabbeinu was selling. And he says, he doesn't say rubbish with these words, but the idea he brings out, you can bring out from him. Sometimes you go to a drasha and you walk out feeling very unmoved. Oh, it doesn't mean anything to me, this drasha. And you think that there's something wrong with the speaker. Says the Sfas Emma, no, it's nothing wrong with the speaker. It's mikotzer ruach. If you come in with your thoughts completely obsessed with your mundane matters, then you don't have that ruchnias in you're lacking the spirit to be able to hear the divrater. If you would have had it, then you would have enjoyed the divrater. Mikotzer ruach, there was something wrong with them. Not that's why they didn't listen to Moshe. Nothing wrong with the way Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking. Chofetz Chaim, in the beginning of the Chofetz Chaim, it talks about that. When you walk out of a drasha and you don't enjoy it, you have to be very careful. And Chofetz Chaim says, usually the problem with not enjoying a drasha is more with the listener than the speaker. I take that as that's my assurance. But the Maisa says, "Lo yishomu al Moshe mikotzer ruach." The way the kashas for Hashem's kotzer ruach is ruchnias, and the Sfas Emma says, because of that, they were not zeicha to geula. They were not zeicha to come into Eretz Yisrael. And the woman Farshim asked the kasha, "But what's going on over here?" In last week's parasha, they said they listened, they believed. And Klai Yisrael bowed down to Hashem to thank Hashem. So what's going on that suddenly they did not believe? And the Mephoshim say, the different Mephoshim will say it, I saw it in Mishra Hashem and his way of saying it, Chaim Kaufman, Zichtali, but many Mephoshim say it in their own way, is that what happened was there was a change. That power suddenly made the work much, much more burdensome. And he didn't give them time. They had no time to think. And because they had no time to think, they lost their ability to be able to listen to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Mesilas Yesharim, when it comes to Zehirus, he says, of all the struggles the Yitzhar, the hardest to avoid is this, the Yitzhar, that he knows, that if a person would have a moment to think, he would immediately start thinking, why did Hashem create me? What am I doing with my life? And he would immediately do tshuva. But the power, he says, is the Yitzhar, and he knew that that is the one thing that he has to stop Klal Yisrael from doing. So what he did was, he made them unable to have a moment to think. And that is why they lost it all. Power, so to speak, on some level succeeded by doing, by burdening them to the extent that they weren't able to think. One has to be amazed by the power of the Yitzhar of nowadays. That however powerful the Sefer Yisrael believed the Yitzhar to be, today he has reached levels which we can't imagine. It used to be you go to the bathroom, so at least then you'd have a second to yourself, but now not. You've got your phones with you. Literally, we can be busy with our phones day, morning, and night. And it's a pachad if a person reads the Mesilas Yesharim about how much importance there is that a person should have space, ability just to think for a minute. And we see in this week's parasha what terrible damage it did. For the Shomu al Moshe, what happened was, once Pari managed to get them to not have time to think, for the Shomu al Moshe, they never heard Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a tremendous Musa Haskell. It's something which people speak about a very lot. I'm not going to be marich. But you can see it from this week's parasha. If you look at this Sfono inside, and the Sfas Yesharim inside, for the Shomu al Moshe, they lost everything because they were so busy. We have to be careful not to allow that Yitzhar to overtake our lives. It is as insane. The Emes Le'Yakov in this week's parasha got a very, very famous shtickle, the Yaakov Kaminetsky. He quotes it in himself. He likes his own shtickle. He says it in other places. Look what I wrote on Parshas Vayera. There's a very big question in this week's parasha. Is that Moshe Rabbeinu keeps saying to Paro, even after the Makkos begins, we just want to go for 3 days into the Midbar and bring Karbonos. 3 days? That was never the question. The question was they wanted to go out of Mitzrayim like they did and they never came back. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to always speak about the 3 days? And the Riachnesk is Mechadash that really Klal Yisrael were originally planning to go back to Mitzrayim. Because they were not completely ready for the Geula HaAsida. The complete Geula would have been. That means Klal Yisrael needed to go through a certain amount of Yisurim to purify themselves and then be ready for the entire Geula. Only they needed to go out for 3 days because they had become sunk to Mem Tes Shaarei Tumah. And they become so involved in power's influence, the mitzvah's lifestyle, they needed to have a 3-day break to come away from it. And had they had a 3-day break and then come back, the Mashiach would have come then, there and then. And the only reason it never happened was because Klali, I wish really you could see in there, the Klali were too dovuk and they couldn't come back even after 3 days. They needed to stay away and Mashiach would have to take a much longer process. They weren't able to go back to Mitzrayim and still remain apart from the influence of the mitzvah. And that was the idea of the 3 days. Originally, that was the original plan. And he gives the whole Arichos that that was the emes, what Binyan Bayis Sheni was about. That even when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they always knew that this was not the final Beis HaMikdash. And that's why there were 5 things missing. He says they didn't even make an effort to bring the 5 things back. The Oren, they never brought the Oren into the second Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Why didn't they bring the Oren into the second Beis HaMikdash? He says, don't tell me they didn't know where it was. He brings a ride that they knew where it was. Because they knew that Binyan Bayis Sheni was not going to be forever. Binyan Bayis Sheni was going to be destroyed. So what was the purpose? The purpose was simply that they knew there was going to be a very, very long galus. And the purpose of Binyan Bayis Sheni was that they should fortify themselves. So the Kedusha of Bayis Sheni, in order that they should then be able to withstand the long galus. That's what he says. It's a very long shtickle. Emes Liakivei, v'chudah shtickle shtickle. He brings it to many places to prove this idea. And he says, this is the kudda, it's very emes in a person's life. Many times a person gets very, very, very busy with his life. He's completely so caught up that he's not able to think about where is his life direction? What's he doing with his life? What's his avodah in life? And if he would just take 3 days to stop and to think about something else, what could he do? Then his whole life would change. And that's what Reish Rabbeinu was really asking from power. And that was all, it's interesting pshat. It fits in very nicely with the Reish Shmuel and Moshe, as we explained. That the reason they didn't listen to Moshe was because they got too caught up, they were too busy. And that's why they needed to, that's why they fell. And that is why Moshe Rabbeinu said, the 3 days to come out, that would have been able to change them. According to the way, look at the Pasuk, let me just read the Pasuk. It's mashma not, they wouldn't have got. They would have served, brought Kobonos and then come back. And in fact, Pari offers to do it to Mitzrayim, and he says, no, we can't do it to Mitzrayim. I don't want to say, in case I run out of time, a vort on Shir Hashim, because it's a short Friday, and it's very nice to be able to say something on Shir Hashim. It's got to do this week's parasha as well. Psukim in Shir Hashim, beautiful Psukim, we say, Kul Doidi, Nei Zebo, Edaleg Alohorim, מקפץ על הגבויס, דוי מדוידי לצבי אלוהיפה היולים, נזוהים את אחר כוסלנו, משגיח מנחלנו, נזמצס מנחלקים. It's a pasuk in Perek Beis, 2 pasuk in Perek Beis. That describes that king, that voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who came, jumping over the mountains, and Medrash Rabbah, in Shir Hashirim Rabbah says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to tell Klal Yisrael, הגיע הזמן גאולתכם, the time of your geula has arrived. What did Klal Yisrael reply? Wait a second, it can't be. You said 400 years, we've not been 400 years in Mitzrayim. Another Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Christ and said, it's time for your Geula, they said, it can't be, we haven't done any mitzvahs. And the Medrash carries on in a very similar way. And every time Moshe Rabbeinu replies to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save you, says, Medaleg Alohim, he comes very, very fast, like sometimes you see a deer running very fast, you can barely see it, like a blink of an eye. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wants to be Mashiach, when he wants to be the Geula, he's able to sort out all these cheshbonos. And the Medrash carries on, the Kodesh of Mashiach, that when Mashiach will come, we'll have the same question. And what will happen is, we'll say to Mashiach, how can we be saved? There's many different cheshbonos that we will have in our minds why we're not ready for Mashiach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say the same thing. Medaleg Alohim Mekapetz Al HaGvois. And there's a very strong ha'ara on this pasuk. The pasuk says, Dei Medoi Di Litzvi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a deer that goes very fast. Behold, he's been standing behind our wall. Which is a bit contradictory. Does he come very fast? Or does he go standing behind our doors? Rav Lefshtita once told me a story. He was speaking about he was telling me about Bikur Cholim. You have to be very, very careful when you visit people when they're not well, especially elderly people, to do it in a sensitive manner. He told me, I'll tell you a story. He said, which is like, it was a parlor bar. He said, what happened was, he is a rav of Moshav Atiso, a small Moshav in Eretz Yisrael. He was invited to speak in America, and they paid his ticket. It's okay. He said to me, pay my ticket. So he came, off he flew. And what happened was, when he got to America, he remembered that somebody who used to live in his moshav for many years had moved to America and wasn't well in hospital. He decided to pop into the hospital and say hello. So what happened was, after, before his drosha, he went into the hospital. And the person was lying there, half awake, half asleep. And he walks in quietly, he sits there, and he's waiting for the person in the hospital to be aware of him. And suddenly he said, all the machines started making loud noises, beeps. He had not a heart attack, but a tremendous, his blood pressure suddenly went completely, everything went wrong. So he rushed out of the room, called the nurses, and they sorted him out. And they went to visit him again a few days later. And he said to him, what happened? And he told him that what happened was, he said, I opened my eyes, and I saw you. And I thought, wait a second, in his dream, this person, he thought he had died. Because he suddenly saw someone, his role for many years, who he didn't know he had been invited to America. No, it was 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, people don't travel quite as much as we do nowadays. And you see somebody from your role for 20 years, suddenly by your bedside, he thought he had actually died. And he got a huge shock. And he said, you have to see how careful you are. In fact, the Medrash in Shashim says a very similar story, that there was some child that wasn't well, and his father comes to visit him from the far, and when the child wakes up, he says to his father, look, you traveled so fast. And the father says, what do you mean you traveled so fast? I've actually been next to your bed for days on end. And that is Pshat in the Pasuk. We think he's similar to a deer. In our minds, when Mashiach comes, and like Moshe Rabbeinu came, it looked to us like a deer. It looked like a Shmuel who's coming from far. We feel now, if Mashiach was coming now, we'd feel he's coming from the distance. We feel he's coming from far because we feel that the Gula is very far. Hine, behold, it's not accurate. If you look in the Pasuk, it's very nicely. Doime, it seems to us like a deer. We think it's like a deer that is coming fast. Behine, behold, behold, he's actually standing behind our wall. He's actually right next to us. When Mashiach comes, and this is the whole message of the Medrash is, that we're supposed to learn from Yitzias Mitzrayim, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu came. There was a geula so quickly, and Kaisel couldn't understand how can it come so fast, and had all kinds of questions. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, don't worry, Akshvochu's got his methods. The same thing the Medrash Kaisel is always supposed to learn from Mashiach. And that's the message of the Pasuk, that we think that Mashiach will come fast from the distance. What we should really realize is that Imedach HaKosleinu, that Akshbochu Be'emes is standing right next to us behind the wall. He's always there, he's right next to us, we just don't see him. We should all be zeicher to get a chizuk from these parshas of Geula, to be zeicher thereby to see the Geula Shlemim. Amen.